Today we're continuing our series on the Beatitudes that we're calling Keys to a Blessed Life. And our focus today is on the fifth of the eight Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And our gospel for this morning is from the 18th chapter of Matthew, beginning at verse 21, where Jesus helps to expand our understanding of who we are called to be as his disciples. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you you do not forgive your brother or sister from the heart." This is the word of God for all of us. Once again this morning, we've included in your bulletin some teaching notes, and I would invite you to take those out and write things down as we go through this message together. And this morning, I want to talk to you about your ministry of mercy. Your ministry of mercy. You know, every one of us here, as a follower of Jesus, is called to ministry. Anything we do in the name of Jesus is our ministry. To each of us is given different gifts. We have different ways of serving. God has placed us in different situations as our setting for our ministry. But Jesus calls every one of us, whatever form our ministry takes, to care, to be merciful. He says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy." You know, Jesus knew from his own life's experience how mean people could be to each other. He saw how unmerciful people could be to one another. And so all through his ministry, in what he said and in the way he lived, he was a champion of mercy. In the Sermon on the Mount, following after the Beatitudes that we're looking at, he said things like this: "If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs of you, and don't refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Every one of us is called to follow his example, because even today there is not enough mercy in this world to be merciful in our marriages, with our children and grandchildren, with our parents, to be merciful with family and friends, to be merciful with our neighbors, to be merciful in our life together here at the church. Jesus calls every one of us to be merciful. Blessed are the merciful, he said, for they will receive mercy. Now, Jesus doesn't just talk about being merciful. He shows us in his life what being merciful looks like. He shows us, first of all, that the merciful value people more than rules. Now, let's not be mistaken. Jesus thought the law of God was important. He wanted us to obey the Ten Commandments as a way of health and happiness in our lives and in our community. And Jesus even said in the Sermon on the Mount that he didn't come to abolish the law, he came to fulfill it. But at the same time, there are those rules that have been made by people in authority that are intended to keep them in control and to put others down. In the bulletin, we provide daily scripture readings on the theme of each week's sermon. And this past Tuesday, our reading was from that familiar story about the woman at the well. And as I was reading that passage again, I realized how scandalous the behavior of Jesus was in that scene to those around him. Walking with his disciples from Judea in the south up to Galilee in the north, Jesus had to go through Samaria. And they came to a Samaritan city called Sychar. His ancestor Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon, John tells us. And in verse 7, he says, a Samaritan woman came to the well to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me some water to drink. His disciples had gone into the city to buy him some food. The Samaritan woman asked, why do you, a Jewish man, ask for something to drink from me, a Samaritan woman? Jews and Samaritans didn't associate with each other. Now, in these few verses, you may notice that Jesus is breaking all sorts of rules. Just by traveling through Samaria, Jesus is overturning conventions. There was such a long history of hostility between Jews and Samaritans. Samaritans were biracial people. Their ancestors were Jews that had intermarried with foreigners that had moved into their land. And because of this, the Jews thought the Samaritans were unclean. And so when most devout Jews traveled north, they went around Samaria so as not to come in contact with any of them people. But Jesus takes his disciples right through Samaria. And not only that, he engages a Samaritan woman in conversation. Now, according to the rules, Jewish men were not to be alone with any woman that was not part of their family. But here's Jesus with this strange woman, this Samaritan woman, and he even asks for a drink of water out of her water jug. Yuck. the middle of the day, when most women would go out early in the day to get water? And why is she alone when most women come out together for their safety and security and fellowship? She must be an outcast in the community, the way this story is told. And later we learn in the conversation with Jesus that she has had five husbands. And the man she now lives with is not her husband. Has she been divorced that many times? Has she been widowed? We don't know. But we do know that she's had a lifetime of heartache. And that she has been excluded for some reasons by others in her community. This artist's rendition that's in your notes there invites us to look at the expression on the face of the Samaritan woman. Her face conveys to us caution, hesitation, mistrust, perhaps, of this rabbi that has approached her. Why is this rabbi talking to me? She must be thinking. I've already been hurt too many times. His presence with her is unsettling. Unsettling not just to this woman, but unsettling to his disciples who are shocked when they come back with the groceries and see Jesus talking with that woman. Jesus breaks the rules, praise God, because he values every person. No matter what the unmerciful people have said about her, he believes that she is precious in God's sight. He breaks down walls so that she can experience grace and mercy. Love and forgiveness, so that she can find that living water that wells up to eternal life. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. The merciful do not regard others from a human point of view. They see every person as precious. And they care. The merciful value people. Secondly, as we follow Jesus in the Gospels, we discover another thing about the merciful. The merciful have compassion for the hurting. You know, the Gospels are just filled with stories of Jesus showing compassion to hurting people. All of us here could probably give many examples. One of them is at the end of Mark chapter 10, a story that shows us how mean people can be, and also how merciful Jesus can be. It begins at verse 46. As Jesus was leaving Jericho, together with his disciples and a sizable crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, Timaeus' son, was sitting beside the road. And when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was there, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, show me mercy!" Exclamation point. Many scolded him, telling him to be quiet, but he shouted even louder, "Son of David, show me mercy!" Now in the face of Bartimaeus' great need, how did the people respond? Mark tells us they scolded him and told him to be quiet. This reminded me of an experience that I had one Sunday morning when I was serving in Center Hall up near State College. And I invited Ginger Keemer, spouse of one of our pastors, to come and to lead our church in a program about homelessness. Now, Ginger did this amazing portrayal of a homeless woman. And she she would come to churches to raise awareness about those who in our community are so often overlooked. When Ginger came up to Center Hall, we had it all planned out. I didn't tell anyone that she was coming. And during the opening hymn, she wandered into the sanctuary dressed like a very poor, homeless person, carrying an old sack full of stuff. And she walked down the aisle in front of everyone and snuck into one of the pews near the front. And everyone was looking at her as she came in. Then, eventually, I read the story, the gospel story of the Good Samaritan, and I was ready to preach a sermon on it when she interrupted me. "Pastor, can I say something?" she said really loud. And before I could answer, she jumped up in front of the congregation and started talking to them, telling them about her life, a very sad story, telling them about her day-to-day experiences as a homeless person. And I was up front and looking around the church. I have to say how blessed I was that most of the people in the congregation seemed to be very intent and caring toward this woman. But there were a few who looked annoyed. And several minutes into her talk, there was this one man sitting near the back, obviously disturbed, and he blurted out in front of everyone, "Lady, I don't know what you want, but you need to sit down. The pastor wants to preach his sermon." Well, the congregation said they'd rather hear her talk. That's not true. But Ginger and I, we couldn't have planned it any better. And he was not a plant in the congregation. And gracefully, she stayed in character and continued on. And I watched as someone sitting near this man walked over and put an arm around him and said something quietly. And he looked sort of embarrassed after that. And it was a wonderful experience for us. But it makes me wonder every time I think of that, who it is that if they were to come to church and sit down beside you, would it make you uncomfortable? Crowds around Bartimaeus were annoyed. But Jesus was merciful. Mark says that Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And Jesus restored this man's sight. And he obviously was known within the first century church as a faithful witness, because in Mark's gospel, we remember his name and also the name of his father. The merciful have compassion for the hurting. And then there's one more thing that we see as we look at Jesus who embodies mercy. The merciful offer forgiveness to people that don't deserve it. They offer forgiveness to people that don't deserve it. In the gospel that I read a few minutes ago, Simon Peter, who had heard so much from Jesus about mercy, just wanted to make sure that he understood what Jesus was talking about. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Should I forgive as many as 7 times? Jesus said, "Not just 7 times, but rather as many as 77 times. And Jesus didn't mean precisely 77 times. What he really meant was there is no limit to the number of times we should forgive someone. We need to forgive, he said, time after time after time. And then he told this parable that we heard. the story of the king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants and discovered this one man who owed such an astronomical sum. Some commentators say that what this servant owed the king was bigger than the national debt. He couldn't possibly ever repay it, even if he worked for 1,000 years. Faced with being sold into slavery with his wife and children, the man begged the king for mercy. And the king took pity on him and forgave him the debt. What a wonderful king. I mean, just think, how would you feel if you had received such mercy? But obviously, as the story continues, this servant has a short memory. He's newly forgiven, but on his way out of the king's courtyard, he spies someone that owes him an infinitely smaller debt. And he takes that servant by the throat and says, "Pay me or I'm going to have you thrown in jail." Well, some other servants, they heard about this. And the king was furious when they told him. "How could anyone be so ungrateful?" he thought. And so he summoned the man back into court. And he said, "Shouldn't you also have mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you?" In his rage, the king had him thrown into prison until he could pay back his entire debt, which would be never. The merciful offer forgiveness to people that don't deserve it. In his sermon several weeks ago, Pastor John talked about Corey Ten Boom, who came to Messiah College way back in the 70s when he was a student there. And this past week, I read another story about Corey Ten Boom, and it's from her autobiography, The Hiding Place, where she tells how she and her sister Betsy were interned at the Nazi concentration camp in Ravensbrück. And Betsy died there. And when the war was over, the thing that Corey dreaded the most was that she might encounter one of their captors. And then it happened one day. She was giving her testimony at a rally in Munich. And there was a former SS officer there who had stood guard at the showers in the camp. Corey looked up, and suddenly this man was standing directly in front of her. "How grateful I am for your message, Fraulein," he said. "To think that, as you say, Jesus washed all my sins away." And then the man reached out his hand to Corey, but she could not take it. She just felt this sense of shame and guilt coursing through her body. And as the man stood there, she prayed, "Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Give me your forgiveness." Struggling with herself, she reached out. She took the man's hand. And as she did, she writes, "The most incredible thing happened. From my shoulder, along my arm, and through my hand, a current seemed to pass from me to him, while into my heart sprang a love for this stranger that overwhelmed me." When Corey realized how much she owed because of Christ's mercy toward her, she found that mercy flowing through her so abundantly that she could share it even with a man who had been such a detestable person. life and ministry, Jesus showed us. He showed us what mercy looks like. The mercy that values people more than rules. The mercy that has compassion for the hurting. The mercy that offers forgiveness to those who don't deserve it. The question for you and me is this: how can we become merciful people? How can mercy become for us a way of life, just as it was for the Lord Jesus? Well, let me put a word in front of you this morning. The word is gratitude. God calls me to be merciful because God has shown mercy to me. In the New Testament letter to the Ephesians, the writer declares, "It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with a whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy, and with an indescribable love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. And he did all this on his own, with no help from us." When I read this, what I hear the apostle saying is, "What have I done to deserve love like this?" And every one of us here, when we look at the cross of Calvary and realize the love and mercy poured out toward us, could ask that same question: what have I done to deserve love like this? Tony Campolo tells the story of a friend of his whose name was Anne. Anne was a middle-aged divorced woman who was rather well off. And she wanted very much to go to Calcutta to work with Mother Teresa. So she wrote Mother Teresa a letter and told her how much she wanted to come and serve with her among the poorest of the poor in the world. And then she waited. She waited for a response. And finally, one day, in her mailbox was a letter from Mother Teresa. She opened it up. And the note inside simply said this: "I received your letter wanting to come to India, Anne. Thank you for your desire to come here. But what I want you to do is to go and find your own Calcutta. Go and find your own Calcutta," she said. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Every one of us called to the ministry of mercy, the ministry of valuing people, the ministry of compassion for the hurting, the ministry of forgiveness for those who have hurt us. What does that ministry look like for you? Where is your Calcutta at this season in your life? On the back page of the teaching notes in the bulletin, we included a short exercise for you to do. And the question is, to whom is God calling me to be merciful? I'd like to take a few moments and reflect on that question for each of us. And I invite you to put the initials of that person To whom is God calling me to be merciful? Is God bringing to mind someone who is unpopular or lonely? What are their initials there? Or is it someone who is hurting? What are their initials there? Is it someone maybe who has hurt you or offended you? Someone you need to forgive? What are their initials there? Is it someone who needs to know God's mercy, that God forgives them? Write down their initials in that moment. Let's take just a moment now here in God's presence. To whom is God calling you?